In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We celebrated the feast of the elevation of the cross on Monday, and here the cross is set in our midst for as long as we continue to celebrate that feast. And today, the church appoints for us an epistle and a gospel that tell us even more about the meaning of the cross for us. You know, during Holy Week, we celebrate the cross and especially what it meant in the life of Jesus. But as we elevate the cross, as it is set in our midst, we meditate especially on what the cross means in our own lives, means for us as Christians, really as the foundation of our faith and our life as Christians. Today's epistle actually comes just before the reading that we had last Saturday for the epistle. This section in 1 Corinthians, St. Paul meditates on the true meaning of the cross. And he writes this to the Corinthians because they had been led astray. They had been led astray by boastful preachers who, from a worldly point of view, looked admirable. They looked wise. They looked respectable. But Paul points out that Christ was not wise or respectable or even powerful from the point of view of the world. Those who were not followers of Christ, when they saw him, especially when they saw him judged and condemned and hung on a cross, they didn't think, oh, here's a wise man. Here's a powerful man. Here's a respectable man. They said, look, here is a criminal dying in infamy. He can't save himself. But St. Paul points out in the same epistle, but not today's reading, that even though Christ appears in the eyes of the world to be weak and foolish, from a divine point of view, he is the very wisdom and power of God. For as St. Paul says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than men's strength. It was only this apparent act of foolishness and weakness, his being condemned and crucified by his enemies, that brought us the eternal salvation that all of us long for and that nothing else could give, certainly not any power, human power or wisdom. So in this context, St. Paul calls upon the Corinthians to consider their calling, to consider how they were called to salvation in Jesus Christ. They who themselves, he says, were not noble, not strong, not wise, not respectable and famous, but rather were foolish and weak and low and despised in the eyes of the world. That God called them in order that Christ's power may be manifested in the midst of their weakness. That any wisdom reflected in their lives would be revealed not as a human wisdom coming from long study and meditation and a life of ease, but rather coming from the Spirit of God within them. This is why when St. Paul came to them, he says, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God in lofty words of wisdom. Not like those interlopers, those false teachers who had come after him and had hijacked the church in Corinth, whom he was trying to rescue that church from in this very letter. I did not come preaching to you in lofty words or wisdom, but I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he says, he preached with weakness, in fear and trembling. This was not a polished message meant to impress. But in spite of his weak delivery, the power of the word shone through. The power of the cross shone through. And that is what won them, and that is what is transforming them. God, he says, is the source of your life in Christ Jesus. God, who has made Christ our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. All of those things that we long for, only Christ can provide. And God has sent him to take on our human nature so that we would be able to identify with him, that we would be able to, by faith, latch ourselves onto his human nature, graft ourselves onto his humanity, that all of these things might flow into us. Again, not from any worldly efforts or preparations, but only through the Spirit of God. That wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption would be manifest in our lives through Christ being in us. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's important to hold on to this perspective for many reasons. For one reason, there are still false teachers in America today who proclaim Christ with glamour, with the shine of human wisdom, the shine of human impressiveness, the shine of human power, but they lack the power of the cross, which is for us the only source of life. However good those teachers look, however nice their message sounds, it cannot bring us the salvation that comes through the foolishness of God and the weakness of God. Also, brothers and sisters, this is important for us because we are constantly tempted to lapse back into the mentality of the world. The mentality of the world, of the rat race, of proving ourselves, of hiding all of our weaknesses, of amplifying and boasting about strengths which we don't even have. This is the way of the world, but it is not the way of Christians. Instead, brothers and sisters, let us embrace our weaknesses. Let us admit them. Let us show them to God so that he might fill them with his strength and his power. You know, when Deacon Thomas was ordained, few weeks ago, when I was ordained many years ago, the bishop put his hands on our heads and said these words. He said, "The grace divine who always heals what is infirm or sick and always completes what is lacking elevates this person to the ministry." But that promise of the grace divine is not just for priests, but for all Christians. The grace divine, the grace of the Holy Spirit that has been planted within us, always heals what is infirm and completes what is lacking. Father Thomas Hopko, who was a professor at St. Vladimir's when I was studying there, would say, "Oh, that more was lacking sometimes. Oh, that more was lacking sometimes." Because he saw, you know, cocky young seminarians ordained, thinking that they were going to transform the church and the world through their gifts and abilities. But it is the opposite spirit that draws down the grace of God. When instead of boasting about our strengths, we accept our weaknesses and put all of our trust in God. Because, as our Lord said, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us embrace the humility of the cross so that we might find true glory, true sanctification, true righteousness, and true redemption. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.